Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So good. What a beautiful service that we have had already. But I believe that the Lord still wants to speak to us today. And I get the privilege of sharing the Word of God with you. And I've called today's word, Faith in Your Home. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, Faith in Your Home. If your neighbor is your spouse, you can say, faith in our home. Faith in our home. The vast majority of us have a place we call home. And whilst a lot of this message will be directed today to people who are parents, who are raising children in their household, I believe that there'll be takeaways from this message for everyone, that you can encounter and have faith rise in your home, in your life, right where you're at today. And faith in your home might actually seem like a bit of a contradiction, because faith is faith, and home is home. Am I right? You know, faith in church, we understand. Faith at conference, perhaps we understand. But faith at home, well, home is just ordinary. Am I right? Faith is where I chill out. Faith is where I clock off. Faith is where I wear that t-shirt from the work conference back in 2007. Do I have a loud amen? You should have thrown that out by now, but you just cannot because it's way too comfortable. Do I have an amen? Maybe I'm disclosing something right now. I don't know. But home is where ears get picked. Home is where toenails get trimmed. Home is where we yell at one another to unpack the dishwasher. Yes, there's a lot of amens in church today. Home is where mums clean that room. It feels like for 1,000th time. Do I have a loud amen from the mums? You know, that is home. What do you mean? Faith in my home. Many of us either consciously or subconsciously have placed a divide between what is holy and what is ordinary. Am I right? Where what is spiritual and what is mundane, and maybe more to the point, some of us have decided where we have a faith-filled expectation and where we do not. And perhaps in that, we haven't seen our homes as places where faith can be expressed or faith can flourish. And I want to declare to us today that faith can thrive in your home. Your ordinary home can be an atmosphere where God is central. Do I have an amen? Where God is first, and where there's a deep faith-filled expectation that He will move. There's an invitation for all of us to recognize the deep work that God wants to do right in the middle of our homes. Amen? Right in the middle. To realize that God is not reserving an outpouring for a particular place or a particular space or even a particular type of person. He is not confined to the church. He is not confined to the prayer meeting. Amen? He wants to move in your home. Nail clippings and all. Amen. Amen. He wants to move in your home. But if that's to be the case today, we actually have to remove the divide. We actually have to realize that there is no divide. God wants in your home. Your ordinary can actually be quite extraordinary because of the faith you carry at home. As a church this year, we're outworking our calendar year under the visionary banner of that word, faith. Has anyone noticed it in the foyer lately? Like, it is 20 foot tall. It smacks you in the face every time you walk in the word faith. But the intent was never that it would be a word on a wall, amen? That it would be a word hanging from a roof. The intent was that this year we would all be discipled in our faith. That faith would go deeper, that faith would be strengthened, and that applies to the faith in our homes. And as you think about faith, if you think about it from the scriptural perspective, you can't go past the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Who loves Hebrews 11? Hebrews 11 is a hallmark chapter on the topic of faith. And it opens in verse 1 with this definition of faith, which I just love. It says, now faith is, everyone say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. So it's actually defining this for us. It's telling us that faith is the virtue that takes from the reality of God and brings it into our earthly reality. It says faith is the substance. Faith is the evidence. Faith makes material those things that are not yet materialized, but faith allows us to see them. Do I have an amen? You know, faith allows us to see God, who we cannot see, except we see Him and we know Him. How do we see Him? How do we know Him? By our faith. Amen? Amen. So Hebrews 11 gives us this amazing insight in verse 1. And then it goes on to list a whole bunch of incredible Bible characters who actually personified this life of faith. We affectionately call this chapter in Scripture the heroes of our faith. They're like the poster children of faith, the poster men and women, because they lived out this earthly life with an unwavering posture of faith. We read about how by faith Enoch dodged death, and by faith Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham left his country. He was prepared to sacrifice his son. By faith, Sarah had her first baby at the age of 90. Sheesh. Happy Mother's Day, Sarah. That is a solid effort, Sarah. You know, they did all of these extraordinary things by faith. And I think because they were so extraordinary, we sometimes pedestal them. Like to live as a hero of faith, you need to do something extraordinary. You need to raise the dead. You need to split a sea. You need to do something like that. It's all right for them. They're heroes of faith. But me, I'm just an ordinary person. Has anyone ever felt like that? As I read this chapter again recently, Hebrews 11, I was completely blown away by verse 23. Verse 23 introduces us to Moses' parents. Moses' mum and dad are amongst the heroes of faith. So you might ask, well, what extraordinary thing did they do to be recorded as a hero of faith? Did they move a mountain? Did they do something like that to be recorded in the elite? And the answer is actually no. They didn't do any of that. All they did was make a decision to bring faith into their home. All they did was make a decision to raise their child by faith. We're going to read it together. Hebrews 11, 23, it says, by faith, everyone say, by faith. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw, everyone say, they saw. They saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid. Say, they were not afraid. They were not afraid of the king's edict. Isn't that special? Who knew you could make it as a hero of faith for the way you raised your child? Who knew that your faith could be enshrined in Scripture for centuries because of your actions within your family? I think there's a deep encouragement here for us all today. Great faith doesn't always look spectacular. Great faith isn't always dead raising. It isn't always sea splitting. It is those things. But I want to tell you, your faith can get the attention of heaven right in the middle of your home. Do I have a loud amen? In the middle of your ordinary, mums, as you change those nappies. You know, mums, dads, as you do those school runs, dads, as you work to support your family, Moses' parents show us that when you do those ordinary things in faith, heaven is watching. Heaven is watching. More than that, heaven is working to write in on your faith. You have to realize that Moses' parents, in their time, they faced massive uncertainty. They face massive hostility. They birth this baby, their precious baby, Moses, into the most perilous circumstances. They were living in Egypt at the time. Remember, they were slaves. You know, their ancestors were slaves. Their whole people group were slaves. And in slavery, they were held under harsh conditions. And what's more, Pharaoh had pronounced a death sentence over all the Hebrew male babies that they must be killed because he feared that Israel as a people group was becoming too strong, that they were growing too large in number. So their baby Moses had a death threat hanging over his life. And it was in the middle of that hostile environment. It was right in the middle of that uncertainty. Right there, they rose up in faith. Right there, they acted in faith. And the truth is that we too face our own degrees of uncertainty, don't we? No one knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And we too, in this day and age, we face our own type of hostility. Sure, there's not a death sentence hanging over our children. Praise the Lord that that's not our reality. But there's plenty of things that the enemy wants to throw at us that will steal, kill, and destroy. Am I right? Plenty of things coming after our kids. Plenty of things coming after our marriages and our families. We live in a culture that's constantly trying to shape our children apart from God. We're drowning in the noise of algorithms and screens and the internet, and now we have to contend with AI, right? There's mass confusion around the messaging, around our identity, this ongoing erosion of family values, ongoing erosion of Christian values, mental health challenges, all these kind of things. And these things represent our own kind of uncertainty, our own kind of hostility. But Moses' parents here example to us, we don't just have to go with it. Can I have an amen in church? We don't have to lie down and take it, and neither do we have to be afraid. The text tells us that they were not afraid of the king's edict. Instead, they rose up in faith. And there's an invitation for us too today to not be afraid. In spite of uncertainty, in spite of hostility, rise up in faith and bring faith right into the middle of your home, right into the middle of your family. And so you might ask, well, what does that look like? Practically speaking today, how can I do that? And I've got three ideas about how we can do that. And the first one is this: understand that faith sees differently. Turn to your neighbor and say, faith sees differently. Paul in 2 Corinthians, he lays down a principle for Christian living. It's this in verse 7 of chapter 5. It says, for we live by faith and not by sight. Such a simple little verse, isn't it? We live by faith and not by sight. And it's this reminder that as Christians, we're not called to live by what we see with our physical eyes. It's very easy for you today. It's very easy for me today to see the ordinary. It's very easy for us to see the uncertainty, to see the hostility, to see the challenges. Like, everybody can see that. Amen? It's around us all of the time. But faith sees differently. Faith means actually putting on spiritual eyes. Faith means seeing God, seeing Him as real and true and perfect and able and capable in every single circumstance. Moses' parents got recorded amongst the heroes of faith because they simply saw differently. The text records that Moses' parents, they saw he was no ordinary child, and that in itself is an act of great faith. I mean, we who know the scriptures, we know who Moses is. We know who Moses was and what he did and what he ended up doing. They didn't know their baby Moses was the Moses. You know what I mean? They didn't know that Moses, this little baby, this son, what he would be and what he would end up doing. Like, when Moses' parents acted in faith, he was just a crying newborn, you understand? He was just a baby with a death sentence over his head, albeit, but in faith, they saw differently. They saw more than that. They saw more than the hostility coming against his life. Something in their spirit saw something of God over their child. Something in their spirit meant that he saw that he wasn't meant for death. He was meant for significance. The eyes of faith inside of him looked past the obvious and saw the hand of God. So my question to us all today, in your home, what do you see? What do you see? Do you just see the challenges right now? Do you just see the bills flying in? They're very easy to see. Do you just see the diagnosis? Are you just seeing at the moment the conflict or your kids going through difficult things? Are you seeing the struggles, struggling at school, struggling socially? Are you seeing those things? Because we've all been there in one way or another. We've seen the hardships in our household, and no doubt it is very hard. But faith invites us, amen, to look up. To look past the perilous, past even the obvious. Faith invites us to see differently and see beyond what we can actually see with our physical eyes. Faith invites us to look beyond the challenges and see them through the eyes of God. See them through the eyes of heaven. Like you might see rebellion in your child, but maybe God sees a reformer. You might see health concerns in your household right now. Maybe God sees an outpouring of the gift of healing and miracles and a testimony being released. You might see conflicts, but maybe God sees restoration. He sees those areas that have broken down becoming an area of strength and a testimony for you and for others. You know, faith in the home is an invitation to download a heavenly vision. To get a little glimpse of the promises of God, to get a glimpse of the character of God, overshadowing the challenges and being made manifest into your marriage, your family, your life, your children, and so on and so forth. Why don't you see your kids as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? See your family, see your household as chosen of God. See yourselves as strong in the Lord and the power of His might, amen? See your household as a dwelling place of God. As a haven of peace, see your family as stepping up and into the call on your lives. And it might actually be the complete opposite of what's actually going on when you look with your physical eyes, but that's exactly what the realm of faith is. That's exactly what it does. It's a choice to see things not as they are, but see them with the eye of faith. It's not about being in denial, amen? It's just about accessing something greater in God. It's about coming up to the vision and the reality of our great God. I've learned to see my son, Isaiah, differently. It would be easy for me to just see his disability, to just see his nonverbal, you know, to just see his illiteracy, to see his limited options in life, to see his uncertain future. And I got to admit that for a long time, that's mostly all I could see. But God has shown me over the years to see him through the lens of faith, to see him these days as fearfully and wonderfully made, amen, to see him as a joy bringer. To see him as fully, fully given to the purposes of God. I see my son as an instrument in God's hand. I see him as useful for bringing unity and bringing joy and bringing peace and bringing innocence and sweetness into every place that he enters. This is how I see him. I see him as one whose future is secure in the hands of the Lord. This is what I see by faith. What do you see? What do you see in your household? What do you see over your marriage? What do you see over your children? Because faith's inviting us to see differently, amen? But more than seeing differently, faith also acts and speaks differently. My second point, faith acts and speaks differently because what we see by faith, it can't just remain a vision in us. It has to tumble out of us as the things we do and the words we speak. Do I have an amen? Like it tells us in the book of James, faith without corresponding action is actually dead. Faith is proven by what it does and by what it says. And this principle actually rings true in our homes. You got to ask, what are we doing? What are we saying? You see it with Moses' parents. The text says they saw he was no ordinary child, and so they acted. Their faith acted in actually all sorts of ways. Hebrews tells us that their faith acted to hide him, to keep him safe in their protective care for a season. But if you flicked over to the book of Exodus that fleshes out the whole story of Moses, you'll see that their faith acted in all sorts of ways. In faith, they acted. They prepared that basket for their baby. In faith, they put that baby in that basket into the river. Out of sheer desperation, they did it by faith. By faith, they set their older girl Miriam up to keep watch, to look out, to see what happened. These were their actions of faith. Do you understand? And those actions, not overly spectacular, but they actually opened the door for God to move. God backed up their faith. We know the story of Moses' life, how it goes. We know that this Egyptian Pharaoh's daughter adopted him, pulls him out of the Nile River, adopts him, and raises him in the Egyptian royal court. And we know that supernaturally God made a way for Moses' mom to come into that royal court and essentially be his nanny for those earliest formative years of his development. Now, theologians and historians alike tell us that his mum had a substantial caregiving role in his earliest years. And it's in those years that their faith didn't only act, their faith spoke. Her faith spoke. She told little Moses of his Hebrew identity. I promise you, he wasn't getting that from the Egyptian princess, you understand. She told little Moses that he was a covenant person. She told little Moses that he was God's special person. She told little Moses about the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, so that little Moses, his heart was formed in the knowledge of the Lord because of the words his mum spoke. Isn't that powerful? So my question again to us in our homes, what are we doing? What are we saying? What are we declaring? Are we acting? Are we speaking in faith? Or are we discouraged because of what we see? Are we writing home off as too ordinary? Are we writing home off as too difficult? Are we too consumed by hard moments and challenges? Or do we feel our actions are too insignificant? Or too inconsequential? Are we afraid? Is fear overwhelming our faith today? I want to encourage you, Mum and Dad. I want to encourage you, person of God, your words of faith, your actions of faith, no matter how ordinary, are actually incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful. When your kids see you loving the Lord, when your kids see you worshiping, when your kids see your devotion, they witness your devotion, when you commit your family to being in church, when you make those Joshua-type declarations, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, when you host connect groups, when you bring them to prayer meetings, when you teach your family the word, when you speak the word, when you declare the word over your children, over your household, over your marriage, when your kids face a crisis and you gather them and you pray. You pray with them. The first port of call is that you take it to God and then you share with them the testimony. When you rise up, parent, in your God-given authority, when you stand in your God-given authority and you pray and you cover and you guide and you guard your household from unholy things, these are the actions of faith, amen? These are the words of faith. They are not ordinary. They are beyond significant, and they are actually all the Lord needs. They're all in Eve. See, Jensen was only one. Sorry, son, I haven't let you know that I'm sharing this story about you today. It's Mother's Day. I feel like I just get licensed. Say whatever you want on Mother's Day. Jensen was only one when we caught a glimpse. We caught a heavenly glimpse of the God-given gift of music and creativity over his life. We had a godly conviction that God wanted to use him in the area of worship. So in faith, we engaged in all sorts of actions to develop his music, develop his worship. We took him to piano lessons. We took him to drum lessons. We enrolled him in a specialist music school. We did all those things. And then there was times when that was deeply challenged. There was times when we wanted to quit because he was pushing back so hard. When he's 9, when he's 10, when he's 11, and he hated piano lessons. Like he really was on our case. All he cared about at that time of his life was football and gaming. That's what he loved. But we kept on. We kept on in our God-given parental authority. We actually kept on in faith, and we kept on speaking over him, son, God has given you a gift. Son, we feel God wants to us to encourage you to develop this gift for his glory. You know, God wants to use your life in this way. And now today, well, he played the drums for you this morning. You know, today, he's 21, he sings, he's a multi-instrumentalist, he writes songs, but you know, and who knows what God will do with his life in the future, but this is the point. As far as actions go, taking your child ongoingly to music lessons is very ordinary. It's very mundane, but when you do the simple things in faith, you keep on doing the simple things in faith, in an attitude of faith, that is all God needs. That is all God needs. He can ride in on those things and produce extraordinary results. And that's my final point today, is faith yields extraordinary results. Faith yields when we do what we can do. Mom, dad, person, when we do what we can do, that's when God does what he can do. Amen. The faith of Moses, let's remember this. The faith of Moses' parents raised a deliverer. Their simple actions of faith raised the man who would set their people free. What should have been death became deliverance. And it was all due to his parents' faith, their conviction to just see differently, to act differently, and to speak differently. And it might have looked ordinary in moments, but it was all that God needed. God rode in on their faith. He rode in with his supernatural hand. He rode in and directed the currents of the Nile. He rode in and he softened the hard heart of an Egyptian princess towards a Hebrew baby. He rode in and he used the courts of an Egyptian pharaoh, a most unlikely place to raise the deliverer of his people. That's what he does. That's what our God does. He partners with our faith. By his Spirit, he overlays our faith with his supernatural hand. Amen? But he comes in with his Spirit to outwork the miraculous, to release the testimony, to multiply faith into the next generation, and bring about results for your good and for his glory. The types of things we can never accomplish on our own, that's what God does, but it starts with our faith. Amen? Amen. This Mother's Day, my encouragement for all of us, just bring faith fresh into your home. Bring it into your home. Don't be afraid of the times. There's a lot of craziness going on in the world right now, but don't be afraid of the times. Don't be discouraged by the challenges that you might see. Look up again. See that God is greater. See that God is able. See that he is unchanging. See that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Would you anchor yourself in the character of God again? He is so good. He is so loving. He is so faithful. Anchor yourself in his character. Declare his promises that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You know, if he can save baby Moses through his parents' faith, if he can turn around a death threat and prepare a deliverer, what might he do in your home? What could he do in your home? And truly, Moses' parents are heroes of faith. Not because they did spectacular things, but because they did ordinary things and they did them in faith. You can be a hero of faith too. Not because you raised the dead, and power to you if you raise the dead. Amen. Let's see the dead raised. Not because you split a sea, but because you take the ordinary and you take your home and you take the daily grind and you just do it in faith. You cover it in faith. You act differently. You speak differently. You see differently. And as you do so, you're making a way for the hand of God to move. Ephesians 3:20, that he will do more than you ask, think, or imagine. Because his power, whose power? His power is at work within your home. Amen? Amen. Faith in your home.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.